Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's main event.
We're back here on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 103.9 FM, 7:50 AM. We're going to transition from the world of college football to talk UFC 202. This past Saturday, we saw McGregor and Diaz go at it round two. This time, Conor McGregor comes out on top. We're going to recap UFC 202 with our next guest right now, Larry Pepe of Pro MMA Radio. He was kind enough to join us last week to preview this particular event, and now he's joining us again to recap it. Larry, always great to get you on. Thank you.
Pleasure's mine.
Larry, we'll dive right into it. Conor McGregor wins round two against Nate Diaz. Now we're locked up 1-1. First off, I want your assessment of this fight on Saturday night.
Well, it's very interesting that you said he won round two, because I know what you meant, that this was the second fight, but I think you, consciously or otherwise, Jordan, actually highlighted the one round we should be talking about, because the first round is clearly all Conor. The third and fifth rounds are clearly Nate. And the fourth round is reasonably clearly Conor. So I think this fight comes down to how did you score the second round. Now, Conor knocks Nate down twice early in the round, but these were not big knockdowns. And I'm not trying to split hairs, but this wasn't, for viewers who may not have seen it, you know, he lands a shot and Nate Diaz goes sprawling to the ground. It almost looked, they were punches, so they were legitimate knockdowns, but Nate kind of falls to his back, and given Nate's Brazilian jiu-jitsu proficiency and excellence and Conor's lack thereof, you wonder when he went down how much of it was to bait Conor into coming down to the ground where he knew that he could have his way with him. Conor didn't take the bait. That happens early. He still continues to land leg kicks. But amazingly, Jordan, 2 to 2.5 minutes into the round, Conor McGregor is gassed again. And I'm, again, not saying this to be negative towards Conor. Let me give him a compliment. He is the best 145-pound fighter in the world. He's the featherweight world champion. He is fantastic at 145. However, he may be the worst cardiovascular athlete I've ever seen of a smaller fighter. And by smaller fighter, I mean, you know, we see heavyweights gas early sometimes because they might be out of shape, because they're carrying more body mass, they get tired more easily. I've never seen a fighter this small gas this early. Now, I had this argument with people after the first fight because he gassed, ironically, almost at the exact same time in that fight. And people, the storyline was that he had tried to knock Nate out by throwing heavy punches, and throwing the heavy punches exhausted him. My argument was, if you're ready for a 25-minute fight, the idea that you would get tired because you were punching hard for 5 to 7 minutes is asinine. And I think this fight proved my point, because he did not throw big shots. He was very measured. He used leg kicks incredibly efficiently and was devastating Nate's front leg. But he did nothing that you would say, oh my God, I don't know that he can keep up this pace for five rounds. And then suddenly, mysteriously, almost at the same point, at the same time, he's gassed again. And Nate takes over the second half of that round. I grappled with how I scored the round. Ultimately, I gave McGregor the round 10-9 by the narrowest of margins, but if you asked me a half hour later, I would tell you 10-10, which makes the fight a draw. So I think that's how close this fight was. It came down to literally how you scored about a minute of the second round, because Conor had the round early, Nate had the round late, and that's how close this redemption fight was. And that's why, even though I was against this fight, because I think the fight made no sense, it was at 170 pounds, we had neither one of them fight, it's relevant to no division, it's relevant to nobody not named McGregor or Diaz. But now that you're in the McGregor-Diaz business, now that it's 1-1, now that they had a great fight, partially because McGregor gassed, and partially because Nate Diaz can't wrestle, whatever it was, they combined for a fantastic fight. I don't see how you don't do a third and strike while the iron is hot. This is what combat sports trilogies are all about. But Dana White has already said they will not do that. And next for Conor McGregor will be either a unification bout at featherweight against Jose Aldo or a lightweight title shot, which in no universe does Conor McGregor deserve.
Again, our guest right now is Larry Pepe of Pro MMA Radio. Larry, you were going back over the first three rounds of that fight. Let me ask you this. If round three, if we have six-minute rounds instead of five-minute rounds, is this fight over after round three? Because it appeared that Diaz was very close to ending this fight in round three.
You know what? I can't say for round three, but I'll tell you where I am confident if round five was a six-minute round. Because Nate finally got a takedown with about 10 or 12 seconds left in the round, and then he was ground and pounding Connor. Had he had another minute, I don't have much of a doubt that he finishes Connor because, again, Nate's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu proficiency, he's a high-level Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt. Go back to the first fight. He went through Connor like a hot knife through butter once it hit the ground. I think for Nate's purposes, this just hit the ground about a minute too late. So I think you could conceivably have seen him finished in the third by exhaustion or in the fifth by submission, either way, but fortunately for Connor, he was able to gut it out. Things happened at the right time, and he was able to escape those rounds without getting finished.
Let me ask you this from a promoter standpoint and a spectator standpoint, somebody who covers the sport. Does Conor McGregor have the right to choose who he wants to fight next? I know UFC is completely different from boxing, but has he earned the right to say who he wants next in the cage?
Well, I guess, you know, it depends on how we're going to define the word earn. From an athletic standpoint, no. Not in my opinion. He's never defended the 145-pound belt one time. Never. He beat Jose Aldo and immediately got a title shot at 155 against Rafael Dos Anjos, and then Dos Anjos got hurt, and the rest is history. Nate Diaz subs in for Dos Anjos and ends up beating Connor, and then they do the rematch. So from a standpoint of performance, has he earned the right? Absolutely not. From a standpoint of dollars, well, sure, because he's the biggest draw the UFC has right now. Absent Brock Lesnar, but Lesnar is now, you know, he failed a steroid test. Who knows if he's going to fight again? Who knows anything about that? But from a pure fighter standpoint, McGregor is number one, at worst, number two. So when you bring in the dollars, you have a lot more leverage to choose what you want to do. But from a performance standpoint, a featherweight who has never defended the belt, who lost to a lightweight who is barely ranked in the top five in the lightweight division, fighting at 170, no, that doesn't spell that you've earned the right to start picking your opponents. But it's interesting you bring that up, Jordan, because the UFC allowing McGregor to have a lot more say in what he's going to do has actually had a trickle-down effect. We now see Tyron Woodley at welterweight saying, no, I'm not going to fight Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, even though he's the number one contender, because I want a big money fight. I want George St. Pierre or Nick Diaz, who hasn't won a UFC fight since 2011. But he's a big name. He's a draw. So Tyron Woodley says, hey, I want to fight that guy because, number one, it'd be an easy fight for Woodley. And number two, it's a bigger money fight. We're seeing it with different champions who are now being more vocal, like, I'm going to pick. Michael Bisping, who just got the middleweight belt from Luke Rockhold, is fighting Dan Henderson, who isn't even, if he's a top 10 middleweight, he's 10th. But he wanted that rematch because Henderson smoked him at UFC 100. And Henderson has said it'll be his last fight, et cetera, but Henderson is getting the shot. And Michael Bisping, the champion, said, that's who I want to fight. I don't want to fight Luke Rockhold. I don't want to fight Chris Weidman. I want to fight that guy. So we're seeing this trickle-down effect, and I don't think it's a good thing. because at the end of the day, the UFC is becoming, if they haven't already become, more towards entertainment than pure sport when it comes to the matchmaking. You know, which matches are going to sell, not which matches are deserved. And I've had this argument with a lot of people, Jordan, in mainstream sports and out, where they'll say, well, you know, you don't understand, it's a business. No, I do understand. We know what else is a business? Every other sport. The NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball. And the commissioner of the NBA doesn't pick, you know what? We're going to put L.A. and New York in the finals because those are the two biggest markets, and that will be the biggest viewership. Let's assume that they both didn't stink for a moment. They don't get to do that. What they do is they build the business around the integrity of the competition. And when the UFC started handing out title shots to Chael Sonnen at 205 pounds, where he hadn't won a fight in 8 years, Nick Diaz coming off a loss and a suspension by the commission, he gets a title shot with George St. Pierre, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now we're seeing, I think, the logical fallout of that plus letting McGregor do whatever he wants to do. And all of a sudden, it's not about who's earned it. It's about who the fighter and or the promotion think is going to sell the most pay-per-views, and I know it's a business, but it's your job as the business to build the business around the integrity of the competition, at least to a degree. And we're starting to see less and less of that.
Well, end with this, Larry. I'm going to ask you, McGregor's next bout, is it Aldo, is it Alvarez, or is it Diaz?
I think it's going to be Alvarez, and I think it's the least deserving by far of the three. He has never won a UFC fight at 155 pounds. Nate Diaz, who he just, depending on, you know, what hour you ask me, either fought to a draw or beat by the narrowest of margins, was crazy. He is, at best, a top five lightweight, one win and one loss over a fringe top five, six, seven lightweight does not earn you a title shot. And I have a feeling that that's what they'll do, because I think for McGregor, an Aldo rematch, is he has already said, is not particularly interesting to him. I think he would have to vacate the belt at 145, give it to Aldo, and then, and I have no problem with that. I just think if he's going to vacate the belt, they should finish the trilogy and strike while the iron is hot, because fans have a short tolerance and a short attention span for trilogies. And if you're going to build this thing, and right now it's all over ESPN and different sports outlets and Fox and everywhere else that this was a fantastic fight, close as could be, it's 1-1. I think you strike while the iron is hot and you do Diaz again. But they've already said that they absolutely will not do that, and the only options are Aldo and Alvarez. So I'm going to take a shot in the dark and say that they do Alvarez, which he doesn't deserve at all. He should be unifying the belt at 145 with Jose Aldo.
Larry Pepe of Pro MMA Radio, it's always great to get you on the show, Larry. Let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Absolutely. On Twitter, they can just check me out at Larry Pepe, last four letters, P-E-P-E. If they are on AFN, serve or know anyone who serves, thank you very much. We're the official radio show for the American Forces Network, and we air there Saturdays at 5 p.m. Pacific. And they can check out the website anytime. All the episodes are up there as well at ProMMAradio.com.
Larry, hopefully we'll get you on again relatively soon and talk UFC 203. It's always great to get you on. Thank you again for the time today.
Pleasure's mine.
We're going to pause for just a moment, but we do have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this.